The debate is over. The tax cuts passed Congress. Now we'll see if they stimulate the economy.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in New York. I'm Jeremy Hobson. While you were sleeping, the House was voting and passing the tax cut package. If you need a refresher, it'll extend the Bush tax cuts at all income levels, as well as jobless benefits for the long-term unemployed. And if you're employed, you'll get a new payroll tax cut come January. Last night, House Republican Whip Eric Cantor called the bill a step towards economic recovery.
The choice is to act now or impose the onset of a $3.8 trillion tax increase that will crush the fragile recovery and cost tens of thousands of jobs nationally.
Democrat Anthony Weiner said this morning Republicans proved to be better poker players than the president because they were able to secure tax cuts for the rich. But after all the partisan back and forth, the bill ended up getting about equal support from both parties in the House. It now heads to the president's desk. Today is the last day to ship something using standard delivery and still have it arrive by Christmas. Well, assuming the weather cooperates, it is not doing so in Europe. And as Anne-Marie McNerney reports from London, that's not helping shoppers or shippers.
This weekend, the UK is bracing itself for a massive snowstorm. And that's on top of what the British Royal Mail system has already said is the worst December in almost 30 years. Simon Veal is the director of Global Freight Solutions, the UK's biggest parcel and carrier service. He says there's a chance that some presents won't arrive on time for Christmas.
My estimate would be something like 4 million parcels are in warehouses of parcel carriers at the moment. They've got to clear that. They've got this weekend before Christmas, of course, but the snow's falling again in much of the country. So who knows how much they can clear of the backlog.
But the weather hasn't left everyone out in the cold. Those hoping for a festive frolic under the mistletoe may be in luck. The holiday plant grows better in wet weather. The mistletoe industry in the UK reports that there'll be a bumper crop this year. In London, I'm Anne-Marie McNerney for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Markets are mixed in Europe right now after leaders backed a new bailout fund for countries facing debt problems. But the Dutch prime minister told his fellow Europeans, instead of philosophizing about cures to crises, they should start preventing them. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow jumped 41 points to close at 11,499.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt. It's more car than electric. And by Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at Vanguard.com/public radio.
California's incoming governor, Jerry Brown, had a blunt warning for the state's educators when he spoke in L.A. this week. Get ready for more budget cuts come January. Mr. Brown is taking over a state with a $25 billion budget deficit. But California is also a state known around the world for its top-notch public universities, places like Berkeley and UCLA. So how do California and other states with well-respected public universities stay competitive in this economy? After all, private universities like NYU and the University of Chicago aren't tied to the ups and downs of state tax revenues. Let's turn to Mark Udoff. He's the president of the University of California, and he joins us now. Mr. Udoff, welcome to Marketplace.
Well, thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Obviously, the tough spot for a public university is that the mission is to offer an education of top quality at an affordable cost. And at the same time, you want to make sure that you have the money to spend on faculty to remain competitive with private institutions. How do you fulfill both of those goals without either making drastic cuts or raising tuition?
We have raised our fees, tuition to other people, to roughly $12,000. We're still below a number of other prominent public universities. But the really important thing is not just what you charge, but who you teach. So what we've done is we've tried to modulate the system to make sure that if you're making under $80,000, you're not paying anything. We really do need to do something about faculty salaries in particular. But I don't know what to say. I'm a believer in markets. If you want the best people, you need to pay for it. And you're paying for people who not only transmit knowledge, but create knowledge.
Do the politicians at the state level, the ones who are controlling the purse strings, do they understand how important it is to stay competitive with the big private institutions?
I think some of them do understand, but I would say most of them don't. And there's always the danger that you'll be treated as just one more state agency, and we are different. Our place in bringing California back is critically important. I mean, we will create the jobs and the new products. You know, we're responsible in part, obviously, for Silicon Valley, for the agricultural revolution. It seems to me those are the types of things that will bring California back. We're not going to be the low-tax state. We're not going to be the low-regulatory state. We have to be smarter, and being smarter involves higher education.
Do you think that it makes sense for any parts of a university to go private, to get away from the woes of the state?
I don't think it makes sense. We're a consummately California institution. The people of the state have paid for it over 100 years. They've sent their children and grandchildren. I can't guarantee that the tuition doesn't go up, but I think we have to preserve the access and preserve the quality, and we need to figure out formulas to do that. We're not going to throw in the towel and say we're a private institution. I don't think that works for this university.
Mark Udoff, president of the University of California, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you, sir.
And you can hear an extended interview with President Udoff, including his views on faculty salaries, at our website, marketplace.org. Finally, while we're talking cash-strapped education systems, the school board in Los Angeles has voted to bring in some cash by allowing corporations to sponsor school programs. They won't be able to advertise per se, just to put their corporate logos in the school cafeteria or on the football field. I just hope it doesn't get to the point where today's calculus class is brought to you by AIG. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
It's a tricky balance. You blow the whistle on financial fraud at your firm and you get a huge bounty, or you don't, and you keep a low profile.
If you don't protect the whistleblower, he or she is simply not going to step forward.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. The cost-benefit analysis of new whistleblower rules in our series Economy 4.0. That's next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.